I said, what is that? So I had to Google it. So planking is actually just stationary thing that you put your hands like this and your other foot on the other side. Of course, I'm an engineer, so I have to analyze the whole thing. So for me, that means that I have support on my arm and my foot. So I'm about that much weight. With my tummy protruding a little bit, so I calculated it, about 3/4 of my weight will be in front of me. So that's not fair for me, because pastor is like, kind of like symmetrical, so it could be half of that weight will be distributed between the front and the back. So I calculated, so I have 60 pounds on my right and 60 pounds on my left. And I said, that is not right. That's too heavy. So I tested it. So we were in Costco. And a 25 pounds of rice, you know, that's basmati rice. So I have to get 3 of them on each side of my hand. And I could not last 10 seconds on that thing. So I said, pastor, I'm going to serve the pastor this Sunday when I see him. I said, pastor, I can't make it on 36 seconds. So kind of like, well, that's a realization that I'm out of shape. So it just really is one of those things that challenges me this week. So I'm going to challenge pastor when he comes back. But I'm still going to go to Costco and try to do this. But anyway, so if you have your Bible on 1 Kings chapter 17, and the young ones can be dismissed. First Kings chapter 17. And when my wife asked me, what are you going to preach from? And I said, First Kings. Oh, Old Testament? I said, yeah, what's the problem with Old Testament? It's hard to understand. But let me make it simple for my sweetheart. So First Kings chapter 17. And we'll start then in on verse 17, and the Bible says that it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And he said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loaf where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried out unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, lest this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of child came into him, and he revived. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this day, and thank you for your word of God. And I pray that the things that I have to say, among things that I have to utter, that those things will come from you and not from me. And I pray that you give me the clear understanding of your word and be able to impart them. And I pray that it will open the heart and mind of the people that will hear them. And I pray that you be with us and also with the pastor. Maybe he's preaching or he's in a church, that your hands upon him also and empower him. And we praise you, we love you for all the things that you will do. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, we pray. Amen. The title of the message is, Thou Man of God. Who qualifies to be in a position and called Man of God? Perhaps probably the pastor, preachers, missionaries, evangelists, deacons, elders of the church. We know how these officers and deacons qualification of those as stated in 1 Timothy chapter 3. However, when you're talking about the qualification of the man of God, and these missionaries, deacons, and evangelists, and preachers, those are godly men, faithful to the church, true to the Bible, God, love God, and love the people. Although I do believe in my heart, to be called a man of God, you must be a soul winner. The godly desire to reach out to the lost people of this world, for which the pastors, deacons, missionaries, evangelists are supposed to be. But don't get fooled with that, because there are preachers and pastors, they don't preach the gospel. So I cannot per se, because you have this title of being a pastor, and you don't preach the gospel and reach out to the lost, you're not a man of God. I was in a funeral service last weekend, and it was presided by a priest. And it's a memorial service, and they talk about that deceased person. And she said that she was a good person. She was faithful in church. I have no doubt that she was a good person and she was faithful in church. However, the priest never mentioned all throughout an hour of sermon, never utter a verse in the Bible. He always claimed that if you are a good person and you belong to a Catholic church, you're going to go to heaven when you die. And there was this, I was just really like hallucinating already for all the things that he was saying. And there was this bombshell statement that he said that I could not believe. He said, "We must enjoy beer on this world because there is no beer in heaven." What? And I was sitting with Mary Joy and Mercy on the pew, and I could see that Mary Joy went, "What did he say?" And I told her, "He said there's no beer in heaven. You must drink beer while on this earth." And I said, I just cannot fathom that people follows him. And they called him man of God. And the sad thing about the whole thing is there are hundreds of people in that service that could have heard the preaching of the gospel, but they never did. He talked about death, that if you're good, you're going to go to heaven. He never mentioned about Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I don't even know whether he knows it or not. That is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, whether you're going to be in a place called hell or you're going to be in a place called heaven. He never mentioned anything about the consequence of sin when you die. That is so sad. That we have what they call the man of God, didn't even know how to assure themselves that they're going to be in heaven when they die. A good person, no doubt. Faithful person in the church, no doubt. But the Bible is very clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Opportunity missed, where hundreds of people could have heard the gospel. I was so inclined to stand up and go to the front and preach. But I, in respect to the family, I did not. But can you imagine hundreds of people at that time that I know personally, one day they will be in a place called hell because they didn't hear the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, unless a man should boast. And then they believe on that they could do it themselves to go to heaven. But there are things that the Bible says about a man of God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 40, this is about James and John asking the Lord if they could sit one on the left and one on the right. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. To be a man of God is a prepared position by God alone. I just cannot proclaim myself because I'm a good person or I've been in this church for over 20 years that I could be a man of God, but I serve as a deacon, I'm a bus captain. Cannot be like that. It has to be as a prepared position for that individual. Look at me in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 3. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared, Jesus said. So in the first point is prepare your heart to obey God. That's the first qualification of a man of God. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. God told Elijah to hide by the brook of Cherith. Elijah obeyed. No doubt. Then after all these things, the brook dried up. And he said in verse number 9 on chapter 17, the Bible says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God told him to arise. He obeyed. So the first thing that you have to remember is that a man of God obeyed the word of God. Obeying the word of God makes you a mature Christian and makes you holy. Because that's the only way. How could you attain maturity in your Christian life if you don't start believing and start obeying God's word? And how are you going to learn how to be holy if you don't do the same thing? Obey what God's word says to you or asks you to do. Man of God, in prepared position, prepared to trust God in faith. Look at verse number 14 on chapter 17. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Elijah came in to this widow, and the widow told him, we have only one meal left, and after this we're going to die. But that Elijah knows that he has to trust. He has to trust God in faith. If I will be like Elijah at that time, you have only one meal, I'm out of here. I'm going to go find Miss Eden and cook me something. No. He obeyed and he actually trusts God in faith. Now look at verse number 22. Prepare to see God's power in facing difficult situations. If you are a man of God, you will expect that you're going to face difficulty in your life. And look at verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him, and he revived." He understood that God will provide. God will answer prayer. If you are in this hard situation in your life, a man of God is prepared to see God's working in your life. You expect that. You expect the power of God to pull you through. Look at the point number 2 here on verse number 18. Patience demonstrated while facing animosity. And he said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son," and took him out of her bosom and carried him unto the loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. The woman is already angry. "After all the things that I have done for you, and this is the result, this is my reward." Elijah exercised patience in facing animosity. There are difficult situations in life that we are all going to experience, such as sickness, death. Elijah could have reacted negatively. He could have said, "Wait a minute, lady, woman. If not for my God, you're not going to have this kind of meal after we eat the food, the last one they make." There is the tendency of man to reciprocate those kind of negative behavior with negative behavior. That's not supposed to be. As a man of God, we should exercise Proverbs 15:1. The Bible says, "A self-answer turneth away wrath, but the grievous word stirs up anger. You know, when I was reading some quote from Albert Einstein, Albert Einstein said this: "Weak mind exacts revenge and vengeance. Strong mind forgives. Intelligent mind ignores." I want you to sink that in your head. This is almost the derivative of what Proverbs 15:1 says. But since Einstein just have a high IQ, he put it in a way that everybody could understand. So we have this in the house. When my wife started to do something, 2 or 3, never 1. Because you're gonna exercise a very weak mind if you're gonna get upset, or you're gonna exact vengeance, or you have a strong mind, number 2, that forgives, and an intelligent mind that ignores. So forgive me if I have to ignore you, because I'm gonna exercise that. So Vic, if I ignore you, let's say you're annoying me, I'm going to ignore you. So this personal experience that I should have applied when I faced this hardship. During my career, I have a lot of bosses. And one day, my deputy director called me in and said, "Ray, I didn't like what you did. You're not supposed to do that." Then I know that I am right, because he's very corrupt. And he wants me to approve something that didn't pass the code. And he told me, he said, Ray, you're going to be a dog catcher starting next week. Because our department's a big department. They have this animal control division. I said, you're going to be a dog catcher next week. So I said, Deputy, I'm going to be the highest paid dog catcher in the state of Maryland. Oh, maybe, not Maryland, the entire world. And he was so upset and said, no, you're going to be a dog catcher and I'm going to demote you. I'm going to take your pay. I said, you can't do that. It's against the code. So I still challenged him instead of saying, okay, sir, okay, may I be excused? So what I did is actually wrong to antagonize him further. Maybe I should not have said what I said. But he did. My wife probably doesn't even know that I experienced those things because I never shared anything that happened in my office with my wife. But patience is a virtue. Can you imagine your boss telling you that you do be a dog catcher? I don't even know how to do that. You know, kind of like those are the things that happen in your life, but you are supposed to exercise that patience. Now, the third thing that I want you to see is to be a man of God, you need to be a passionate prayer. You need to have that passion in your prayer. Look at verse number 20 in chapter 17. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him. Psalms chapter 26, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, they that sow tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Romans 9, 1 and 3 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Romans 10, 1, 3, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you cry unto the Lord on everything that you do? Can you be like Paul, saying, God, if you could just take my life in for that person, for my brethren to get saved, I will do it. Will you say, I will give up my life for your loved ones, for your parents, for your brother, for your sister, for somebody that you care about? He even went that far in prayer. I asked myself that one time when my parents are still unsaved. I said, if I could do that, what Paul's saying, will I give my life for my parents? Honestly, I could not see myself doing it. It doesn't mean that I don't love my parents, but I just can't. Put myself in that position, say, yeah, I could exchange my life for the salvation of my parents. If it is possible, I could. But it's a once and for all proposition for individual to make that decision in their life. So we have this situation where he cried out and God answered his prayer. As a great reminder for everyone that when pastor preach about prayer, because you're too preoccupied, I told myself and my wife, we have the same creed now. I said, every time we open the door, we're going to pray. The same as Pastor is saying. But I have limitation. I said, when I open my door and get out, and when I come back in my office, I will do it. Because it's very hard for me to open the door and go to the bathroom and kneel on the bathroom floor. So I limit myself on going to the office. But believe me, when I started doing that, I was able to pray for all of us, for all of you. Not the whole day, but basically, I find time, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, to pray for individuals that get into my heart, into my mind. So when I start going to my office, I told my staff, when following me, because they want to talk to me, I said, give me 1 minute before you come in. Because I don't want them to see me praying. It's not that I'm not ashamed of it. It's just that is actually is something that sacred. That not like the Muslim, they put in their rug right in the middle of the conference room and they do those prayers. I want to make it a secret between me and my God. So, I pray for the church member, I pray for my pastor, I pray for the ministry leaders and for the members of the church. I prayed every time I leave my office and come back. And it's a good practice. I'm telling you, it helped me a lot. A man of God, this is my last point, is that personal approach. Look at verse number 21. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. Now let me remind you on 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, after Elijah was whirlwind to heaven, Elisha took over the ministry for Elijah. And look at 2 Kings and chapter 4. And because I look at the word stretch and the prayer that Elijah did, so I went into chapter 4 and found this verse on verse number 34. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 34. The Bible says, and we went up, and he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. What happened to Elijah happened also to Elisha. And that means that when you approach people, you have to have that genuine kind of like appearance to them. It's basically what the personal touch, the personal involvement with all the people that you encounter. It's not only the saved and also the unsaved. Elijah and Elisha consistently demonstrated the same action in treating people that was with personal interaction. Bus ministry is one of that ministry that has this personal touch, this personal approach. Hand upon the hand, eyes upon the eyes. There's nothing more personal than that. If you're a man of God, you should be able to reach out and interact with the people with personal involvement. The personal interaction. It is important to show that genuine concern for the loss. The person that you are reaching out will notice the insincerity of your actions. They will see the difference in you if you're just acting up. And they will sense if you have truly the compassion for them. If we fail to demonstrate the character of a man of God, people will avoid us like a plague. You're going to be a hypocrite. They will detest our efforts to lead them to Christ. The shortfall of us will send them to a place called hell. A man of God needs to have passionate prayer, a personal approach, patience, and a personal position. at a personal position. Prepared position. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you again for this day and thank you for your word. And I thank you for this faithful people in front of me, Lord, that the things that I've said will be pleasant to your ears, Lord. And I pray that that they will be able to carry that thing through and establish that qualities of being a man of God. Pray, Lord, also that you be with us as we do your work. And I pray that you continue to encourage us and to do what's right. And we praise you, we love you for all the things that you will do. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, we pray. Amen.